Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
I don't like that at all.
Yeah, I don't either.
Al in Pacifica. Al, you're up here on 95.7 The Game. What's up, Al?
Hey, gentlemen. Tiny man, you don't hate the Warriors. I know that. You are a provocateur.
I like that word.
And a connoisseur. I love it.
I do provoke. I will admit that.
Tiny's that guy in a group of friends who will say what everybody's thinking. And everybody is like, oh, God, please don't say it. Please don't say it. Please don't say it. So there's nothing wrong with that, man. Stand your ground. Keep talking about the stuff that people feel uncomfortable talking about. They all want to make sure that this is, you know, a happy-go-round. But we got to talk about what's coming. We got to talk about some of the concerns. So you are not a Warrior hater, and I appreciate you taking that angle instead of the popular, more stellar one. But as far as the Warriors, you guys, KD, which I heard a while back, the position that the Knicks are offering him, his own team, basically, that might entice him to leave. But Clay, I think, loves the Warriors enough not to leave. But one thing we're not talking about is when Durant leaves, are the Warriors, what are the Warriors going to do? Are they going to be able to attract any talent, or are they going to be the Lakers after, you know, Kobe, Shaq, and all that dynasty, and nobody wants to play for them anymore? So,
well,
and can they beat the rest of the competition just with the original Warriors?
I'm with you. That's one thing I'd kind of like to see. One of the reasons I want to see Durant leave is to see if the Warriors can get it done kind of with their old team, the old band.
I think that would be fun
because,
5 years later.
Yeah. Plus, they're going to get a player or two with the mid-level exception. It won't be a superstar, but it could be a darn good player.
And I'll say this, and look, nobody knows what Kevin Durant's going to do, and it is 5 months away, and we were talking about that with Mark Spears. I mean, a lot can change in 5 months. But if Kevin Durant were to leave, it doesn't open the door for the Warriors to sign a max player, but it opens it tips the scales toward a legitimate retooling of the rest of the roster, because you would have to do that if you're going to be a championship team. And what I mean by that is, okay, it's Curry, it's Clay,
right?
It's Draymond, let's just say, because he'd have one more year on his deal. And at that point, I don't think anybody else would necessarily be a lock to be on the team that's currently
I think it's possible.
So it could be a 6-7-8 man, almost little rebuild on the fly of veterans and guys you could make trades for to try and build it up as much as you possibly can.
Here's what else I
think. Strength in numbers might be back.
No, I don't think so. I think I look at it the other way with Joe Lacob. Here's what I could envision. Okay. Kevin Durant leaves. All right, so Durant goes to New York. So now what do you do? Well, the conventional way to do it, I think, and the thing that everybody would want is offer Clay the max, so he resigns. I don't think you're going to be able to get Boogie back, but, you know, try to sell him on the 6.5, but I don't think you'll be able to. So Cousins is gone, Durant's gone, Clay's back. You sign two players with the mid-level, and you roll with that team.
Okay.
I don't think Lakers going to do that. He is unique, all right? He is not afraid to make gutsy moves. And I believe if Durant were to leave, and I don't know where Clay fits in on this, if Durant were to leave, he may take this opportunity to, you know, hey, can we trade Iguodala and Livingston for somebody so that we can re-sign Cousins? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Or can you clear salary.
Right.
Clear the deck.
Or maybe, you know, Durant's not coming back, so maybe now you're like, oh, we're not gonna overpay for Draymond next year. So let's think about moving Draymond now and make our big splash again. I think that's very possible. I do.
We're being flooded with texts, by the way, in the Chilton Auto Body text line, 95795.
What?
About just stuff about you. I'm not choosing to. There's a lot of love and a lot of less than love. Let's say the opposite of love for you. Steven and Vallejo is going to join us, and then we'll get to some texts. Steven, you've texted in this morning, I believe. We may have read one or two of yours earlier in the show. What's up, Steven?
How's it going, guys? I just want to start with all the Warrior fans out there. A signing keeps it real. Like, let's just be honest. You always have to have both sides of everything, and it can't always be sunshine and rainbows. You know what I mean?
But yeah, you're right, Steven. Although the Warriors have it dialed about as close to always sunshine and rainbows as you can get.
Oh, trust me. I've been there when it was under the rock shadows and mud and worms and all that. But so just about Klay Thompson. You know, right now he's making $18 million a year. And, J.D., you did read one of my texts, and it was about, you know, being competitive. He loves it here. They drafted him. But so let's look at it this way. If the Warriors offer him the max, that's 5 years, $190 million. Well, say they offer him 5 years, $150 million. That's $30 million per. So he's taking a $40 million haircut. Spread that over 5 years, that's $8 million a year. Now look at the team that drafted him competing for rings every year. And he's already said he loves living in the Bay Area. Now, don't you think that would be worth $8 million a year for the next 5 years?
I'm not sure.
I'm not either.
I'm not sure, Steven. It's good math. The way you broke it down is that's logical. I think it's well put together. But to me, the initial disrespect of why isn't it just the full-blown max, given everything I've done and everything that I will continue to do for this franchise? I think that might be a little tough to not be upset about. I'm not saying it would be a deal-breaker and that he wouldn't come back, but I think it would tick him off enough to legitimately look at other offers.
Just another point real quick for you.
Sure.
Steiny, you mentioned that Lakeup is unique. And
yes.
I could argue that Klay Thompson is also an extremely unique player. And I don't think, you know, growing up in his house, he's already said that it's always been about a ring conversation with his dad, and now he's finally surpassed his dad. And just growing up in a household of an NBA star and a champion, I think that has molded him into the type of person that for, you know, a max deal, he knows he's a number two, number three on this team, sometimes even a number four if you want to look at it that way. And he knows that he's not necessarily a max player. So for $150 million, I think that could get it done for the Warriors. Thanks, guys.
You think he doesn't think he's a max player? I don't know.
I think he knows he's a max player.
I kind of think he does too.
And again,
I think he is.
You are a max player because multiple teams would pay you the max.
You know what?
It's not just the Warriors. It's. I mean, honestly, Steiny, and I know you can't legitimately have 5-6 max offers on the table at the same time because you know teams are tying up salary and it gets tied up for a couple of days and blah blah. But I mean, how many teams would be willing to offer Klay Thompson the max? I think every single team that has a max slot would.
I would agree with that. I think like when you look at Kyrie and KD, there's a low maintenance part of Klay Thompson that makes him more desirable than any other free agent in the NBA.
Doubt.
I mean, you sign him, it's like, hey, we got 5 years of no issues because this guy is cool. The one thing I also wonder if it's part of any equation, JD, is this. The one thing you've always said is, you know, when the Warriors are missing a guy, they always get a little funky.
Look at Thursday night, for crying out loud.
So Durant's in a place by himself, kind of. I mean, he could walk and the Warriors still are going to be competitive, et cetera, et cetera. What I'm getting at is, do you really want to find out what the Warriors are without Klay Thompson? I don't think you. I mean, you know what you are without Kevin Durant.
Good way of putting
it. I know it's 3 years prior, but you know what Klay is. You know what Draymond is. You know what Curry is. Iguodala, Livingston. You know what they all are. So but do you want to really find out what you are without Klay? That's dangerous.
That is dangerous.
Yeah.
I think that is dangerous. Chilton Autobody text line 707. I agree with Steinmetz's take. Unload Draymond, trade Iggy, make a splash if KD leaves. Very confident Lakob would pull the trigger on that kind of move. And then the 707 also weighing in regarding Steiny's demeanor. There is no sunshine or rainbows in Steiny's world. That's hogwash. Dumb. I know that's false.
It is false.
I can attest to that.
510 says Clay's not a max player. When he's the primary option on a team, you'll be in trouble.
Okay, look, again, I'm just going to... Would the Lakers offer him a max?
Yes.
Would the Clippers?
Yes.
Would Sacramento?
Yes.
Would the Knicks?
Yes.
Okay. I mean, how many other teams? Would Orlando?
Do they have money? Yes.
Yeah. I mean, they have Evan Fournier, and they still have Terrence Ross?
Yeah.
That's a joke.
He's good.
Wouldn't matter.
Great bench player. He could win Sixth Man of the Year.
You know what? Me going to a subhead of the Magic is akin to you talking about the Hawks, who have been banned from this program for this week.
Yeah, I knew that. Yeah,
they're banned from this program.
You know, I was telling
about them getting run out in the second half last night in Utah.
You know, I was talking to somebody about, was it Dibley?
May have been.
I said, get this. Yeah, because I like the Hawks because.
Yeah,
they stink, and
Schlenk,
got some
right?
Warrior people there, and yeah. Danny Martinez.
Yeah, I saw Larry Riley too.
Yeah, Larry Riley, Rod Higgins.
Yeah.
Rod Higgins.
Yeah,
is with
they're all skulking around Golden 1 Center earlier in the week.
Yeah, so you know, I root for them to do well, and they're playing the Kings the other day, and they got beat. You know, and I know
they got ran out.
Okay, they got run out, but. Why are you getting mad at me because they lose to the Kings?
Because you're the one. Because you're the one that's always, oh, Hawks are playing so great. Oh, beat the Clippers. Get all these teams coming.
They are in the middle
playing...
of a brutal West Coast swing because they have to get out of Atlanta because of the Super Bowl.
Which is kind of a shame. How come they're not playing the night before the Super Bowl? Or are they?
Oh, yeah, they probably are, but not in Atlanta.
But they should be playing at home. Let everybody
go to the
game.
Well, that's right. The Warriors played before the game was here, right? Well, Santa Clara, but still.
All right, 888-957-9570. We're going to be joined by Tim Bontemps of ESPN at 11:30. More of your phone calls, more of your texts. Feel free to weigh in on Steiny's sunshining demeanor on 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Warriors This Week on 95.7 The Game.
All right, roll along here on a Saturday until 1 o'clock with John Dickinson and Matt Steinmetz, getting you closer to the Warriors and the Lakers tonight. More of your phone calls coming up, but Steiny, I wanted to get to something you just said to me right before we came back on the air. You said it doesn't feel like a big game tonight. It does to me. LeBron James is back. You got all this speculation about what the Lakers are going to do, but they're going to have... everybody, unless they make a trade in the next couple of hours, everybody will be available. And this team with LeBron beat the Warriors back in December.
Yeah, I think it's because of the monster Porzingis trade. Anthony Davis has something to do with it. I don't know. It just doesn't. I think the loss to Philly's taking a little steam off. Obviously, it'd be better if they came in on a 12-game winning streak against the Lakers. But you know what? You walk into the building tonight, JD, you know how it's going to be. You're going to know it's the Lakers pretty quickly, and then the fun and games start.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of buzz for the game tonight. I think it feels like, I don't know, a top 3-4 game on the entire schedule for the Warriors this season. I thought last week's game felt as much like that as an away game could be, or as a game that I'm not physically covering. I think the two games in L.A. felt huge. When I covered those, I thought the game in Denver actually even felt pretty big, given where those two teams were in the standings. And then there's been a handful of others at Oracle. The Rockets game is one 4 weeks ago when the Rockets won January 3rd. And then I'm trying to think, well, probably the
Christmas.
Are
you talking about the good?
I'm just thinking of the games that have felt like big games at Oracle.
Oh, Oracle. I got you.
Yeah.
Got
and, you. And other games on the, you know, on the road too. But
I mean, I remember the Utah game, Jarebko's tip in was it.
That was a great game.
It was.
Yeah.
It was a really good game.
But I don't know
game.
That was a huge game going in.
No.
Like, oh, that's good.
That was like,
although
what,
anytime
the third,
they play
third
in Utah,
game of the
it
year?
Is typically a decent game.
Yeah. 408 says, Matt, don't overthink it. Mike Conley, Otto Porter, Andrew Wiggins, Bradley Beal, they're all max players.
So Kawhi's
Clay
max.
Is better than those guys. I mean, that's true. I mean, they're not max players, but they're getting max money. I get what he's saying there for sure.
And Clay's probably more of a max player than all of those.
I would agree with that. I would take Clay over any of those guys. Yeah, I'd take him over Mike Conley. Conley's starting to break down a little bit, too.
How about did you see the report the Jazz may be interested in Conley?
I did.
Rubio for Conley? The framework of a deal?
I'd be so bummed if I were Rubio and that happens. But Conley's an upgrade over Rubio.
Yeah.
Even though Rubio's gotten
better.
And he
seems like he would fit them.
Oh, Conley, I think, would be really good in Utah. I do. I think he would be good. The other thing is, if you're the Pelicans and Anthony Davis says, I want out, I mean, at that point, don't you start thinking, well, let's talk about moving Drew Holiday, too, I guess.
Tear it all down.
Yeah. I mean, Drew Holiday, you could fetch something for Drew Holiday.
Yeah.
For a contender, I think, would love. Picture Drew Holiday on Utah. They might have something there.
John in Alameda is up next here on 95.7, the game on the phone lines. Hey, John.
Hey, guys. Great show as always. Love tuning in.
Thank you.
Thanks.
So let's talk about the ownership. You know, Lacob and Goober, they have a $1 billion franchise. They're building a $1 billion building. They're selling God knows how expensive those suites are. And they're going to nickel and dime on the entertainment product itself. They'll pay Clay what they have to pay him to keep him. I think that's probably true of Draymond, too. I mean, what are you going to do? You're going to tell the brand new ticket holders, we're going to try somebody else in that position. It's an entertainment product.
Yeah, and that's a tough sell, John. I agree with you. I think Durant will play a role in what happens with Draymond. Like, I think if Durant comes back, then Draymond winds up being the odd man out that doesn't get paid large. But I'm kind of with you. Maybe if Durant doesn't wind up staying with the Warriors, then maybe at that point, if you don't go out and make another big move like Steiny's talking about where you make some trades, then maybe that is the most prudent thing to do, is to just roll with the guys that have the championships in their back pocket.
Right. One point about Durant, too. That, you know, that you listen to Durant, he said two things. He said, this time I'm going for as much money as possible, and I want a great basketball hooping culture like the Warriors. Well, who can offer him both those things? Exactly one team, the Warriors.
That's fair. And
I think with all of what's going on, I think he's going to sign.
Thanks, John.
I do, too.
Durant?
No, Clay.
No, he was talking about Durant.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I don't.
The two things that Durant has said.
I don't think he's going to re-sign.
The culture here and the most money.
If he does, then what I had a hunch on was wrong. I'm not saying it's a done deal. I'm just saying I think he's going to leave. But nevertheless, but I do agree. Here's the other thing, JD. This isn't going away. This all isn't going away, even after free agency this summer. Because then Draymond becomes. People think we look ahead now. I'm almost thinking it's going to be incredible to watch next season if Draymond starts figuring out he ain't getting paid.
What do you mean?
Well, okay, let's just say, all right, Durant stays or goes. Just pick one.
Goes.
Okay, he goes. Clay stays.
Stays.
Okay, you go through the year, you go 58-24, and you make it to the Western Conference Finals next year. Maybe even you make it to the finals, but you don't win it next year. You don't win it. If Draymond starts, I think there's doubt whether the Warriors are going to pay Draymond Green. Big money.
Yeah, I agree.
At his next contract.
I agree with that.
And he's a smart guy, too. And I think you're going to have to be careful. That's all I'm saying. How you enter the last year of Draymond Green's free agency if you don't really want to re-sign him. Or you know that the only way you're going to re-sign him is if he takes a big pay cut. Because you just... See, this is where it gets really hard.
Yeah, see, I don't see Draymond Green taking a pay cut.
But I don't see him getting whatever his max is going to be from the Warriors.
I think there's somewhere in between those two.
I do, too. But I don't think, like, if you said Clay, pay Clay the max. Paying Clay the max is a no-brainer. All right?
Yes.
Okay. If that's a no-brainer, paying Draymond the max a year from now, that is not a no-brainer.
Correct. I agree with that.
Okay. So that's going to be, and that's what I mean. I mean, Durant leaves.
But there's, yeah, right. You're not saying a literal pay cut. You're saying
right. No,
not
yeah.
a pay cut from what the max would be.
Exactly. Yeah. That's what I meant.
Yeah. Semantics, but we just want to make sure everybody starts ripping you, we want to make sure that we clarify exactly what you said.
360 says, 136, rather. 360 said, got to get rid of Draymond before next year. I mean, he's going to be a very, very hard. See, this is, you know what you realize? That you have to put human nature in all this stuff. You can't, I mean, look, if the Warriors, if you're the Warriors, how do you say, we're going to move on from Draymond Green? We're just not going to offer him a contract. I mean,
that's tough.
Wow. But
we're a long ways away.
We
from
are
that.
A long way away from that.
Maybe multiple championships away from that still to be had. By the way, you want to play a quick know your area codes?
Okay.
360. Do you know?
No.
Washington State.
Oh, okay.
Western Washington outside Metro Seattle. So it's another one after 206.
Not like Yakima.
One. No.
It's not near Yakima.
Western Washington. So it's like, yeah, the 206, right? And then 360. Anyway, we digest. Kyle in San Jose is up next here on 95.7 The Game. What's up, Kyle?
Hey, what's up? So I just wanted to say, even though Klay Thompson's my favorite Warrior, and I think he's a Hall of Famer because he's the best at what he does specifically, but I don't think he should get a max contract because he's not exactly a max player. I think players like Curry, Harden, James, Durant, you know, those are max players. He's just kind of like a catch and shoot. He needs everyone around him to be good, you know, that kind of player.
Interesting.
Yeah.
He's a Hall of Famer, right?
I'm not even saying Kyle's necessarily wrong, but again, you have to, you become a max player, and thanks for the call, Kyle. You become a max player based on other factors than you're just one of the elite players in the league. We had that list earlier of max guys, you know, Conley
right.
and other guys like that. I mean, those guys aren't Hall of Famers.
510 says, why not pay them all and bite the bullet? Well, they may do that. They may do that.
It's on the table.
I mean, if Durant stays, he's going to make 40-plus million.
Well,
if Clay stays, he's going to make 5 over 190.
What if you pay them all and you bite the bullet and you win this year?
Okay.
And you win next year? And then maybe there's a little bit of a decline. It's like, at what point, like, is there a point where it becomes not worth it if you keep winning championships? Because I would say no.
I would say no, not to Lacob. Not to, like, Lacob.
Let's say you win two more. And then there's a decline, and maybe you're stuck with a couple of bad contracts for 3 or 4 years. But you won five rings.
Well, that's the other thing that I think about. Is it the best strategy for the Warriors? In other words, is their best move this summer to re-sign Kevin Durant for the max, to re-sign Klay Thompson for the max? I mean, conventional wisdom, I think, JD, would be, yeah, yes, but maybe it's not the best way to go forward. 5 years is a long time. You know, Durant's been banged up a little. Things can change.
All right, Tim Bontemps of ESPN joins us here on 95.7 The Game. Tim, a pleasure as always. Thanks a lot for coming on. It was good to see you briefly here in Oracle in Oakland on Thursday night. I know you ended up back in New York because of everything going on with Kyrie Irving and the Knicks and the Celtics and all of that. But, yeah, it was good to see you, buddy. Thanks for coming on.
Likewise. Great to see you, man. And it was it's always fun to be at Oracle. And it was fun to be there for what was a really good game, too.
Yeah, really good game and an impressive win for the Sixers, regardless of whether Klay Thompson was playing or not. We'll come back to that, but I want to start really with what you wrote about as it pertains to Kyrie Irving, because Steiny and I were talking about this earlier in the show. where the NBA, you know, when the collective bargaining agreement was done and shifted and things were maneuvered around, there was this belief that the teams were going to have more control over where players go. And now as we continue to see with Durant, and we've already seen with LeBron and Anthony Davis and now Kyrie Irving, the players, and in particular the superstars, have all the control right now, and they're dictating terms left and right.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like you said, I wrote about that today on ESPN.com, and it's really just a continuation of, you know, what's really been a decade of the players in the league slowly, you know, gaining more and more authority over what they're doing, right? And now it's kind of reached a point where the teams are just kind of hanging on for dear life as the players are dictating what's going to happen. You know, if you look at this current situation now, you know, Anthony Davis is essentially turning down $80-90 million this summer, right? Because he wants to get out of New Orleans and go play somewhere else. The idea of turning down $80 or $90 million is pretty crazy on its face. But when you consider that the guy is going to sign a contract, if he gets traded somewhere for, you know, I don't know, $200 million instead of $280 million, right? I mean, we're at the point where the money is so astronomical that these guys are able to make decisions based on what they want to do, and the extra money doesn't make any difference. And, you know, so now you've got the situation where you've got Anthony Davis looking at potentially leaving New Orleans. That has shook up the league, and frankly, a way I've never seen the league shook up before. And now you have all these ripple effects where, you know, you have Kyrie Irving's name coming up and stuff now. There's all the talk, obviously, like you guys were just saying about what's going to happen this summer with Kevin Durant. You have Kristaps Porzingis getting traded to allow the Knicks to sign two guys this summer, right? I mean, there's just all this stuff going on, and it all goes back to the central premise, which is that, you know, really in an unprecedented way, the NBA isn't about what these teams are trying to pull off. It's what the players want the teams to pull off. And that's a new dynamic that I think it's going to take quite a long time for, you know, the ramifications of to start to settle in and, you know, become clear to everybody.
Tim, how much of what's going on with Anthony Davis, even with kind of LeBron, with the Knicks clearing two spots and the Lakers having room for a guy, and how much of this has to do with the Golden State Warriors, if any?
Honestly, I don't think this has I mean, listen, the Knicks thing is partly because they think they have a really good shot at getting Kevin Durant, right? And they
right.
have the ability to say, hey, come get somebody else. But this is really just about Anthony Davis. I mean, this Anthony Davis thing has the league on tilt. It really does. And, you know, I think it's the combination of a guy as good as AD being available, the combination of that with, you know, the Knicks and the Lakers and the Celtics being involved, right? You know, just the looking ahead to the summer when you have KD, Kyrie, Clay, Kawhi Leonard, Kemba Walker, you know, all these guys who are going to be available, Jimmy Butler, right? There's a ton of guys available. There's a ton going on, and there's just a lot of uncertainty within the league. And, you know, it's just like these massive tectonic plates within the league are shifting. And, you know, it's just going to be really interesting to see how it all settles out because, you know, like I said, I've never seen the league on edge like it is right now. And it all goes back to Davis and the fact that him being on the market just has everybody on edge and not sure what's going to happen next.
How do you think it ultimately shakes out? I know we've asked you that before, but that was before it was, you know, made public that Davis actually wants out, and he's clearly, his camp is trying to sway it one way to the Lakers. But how do you think it all shakes out as far as teams trying to maybe get in that mix? Like, are there teams out there that would play the Kawhi Leonard game with him and say, we'll take you for a year and make you love us?
There's unquestionably teams outside the Lakers and Celtics and even Knicks that are going to make offers, right? I mean, there's bad teams that are going to make offers. All teams are going to make offers because it's Anthony Davis, right? And you're going to take a chance at getting a guy that good. That being said, I think this is going to end with Anthony playing in Boston next season with Kyrie Irving, and that'll be done around the draft because the Celtics, to me,
almost regard, you know, maybe they make the finals and Kyrie won't care. But I mean, to me, I think they're going to need to get Anthony Davis to make sure that Kyrie Irving is around. Right. I mean, that's been my thought for a while, that they get Anthony Davis by July 1st, him and Kyrie are going to still want to be there. They're going to be good for a really long time. And if they don't have Anthony Davis by July 1st, you know, could I see, you know, I've told you guys before, I think, you know, Kevin and Kyrie playing together is a possibility. Certainly now they could do that in New York. You know, that's on the table. But, you know, you did mention the, you know, the Lakers are, you know, the AD camp led by Rich Paul is trying to do everything it can to get AD to the Lakers. The only problem is that the Lakers have nothing to trade. And that really, like, this entire scenario would not be playing out right now if the Lakers had a Jason Tatum, Donovan Mitchell, you know, Ben Simmons, De'Aaron Fox, Luka Doncic, you know, somebody to trade. Right? They have nothing to trade. So they could stomp their feet and say they want AD to go to the Lakers and play with LeBron. But the bottom line is these young guys for the Lakers are simply not good enough. And, you know, I think they missed their window not trading for Paul George. And, you know, I think there's some debate. I'm not sure the Spurs wanted any of the Lakers guys, but they didn't really offer them anyway. You know, I think they might have just missed their window with these guys because they had all these top picks and they just aren't good enough to get this trade done. And, you know, I guess maybe they can throw all of them in the mix and maybe that'll end, and picks, and maybe they'll eventually do it. But I think this is going to end up with him in Boston because Tatum is the kind of piece that makes sense to go back to New Orleans in this kind of a trade. And the Celtics are going to be motivated after the deadline passes, they can trade for him this summer. They're going to be motivated to get a deal done to make sure they keep Kyrie Irving in Boston.
Tim, I guess it sounds, I don't know how it sounds, but I think conventional wisdom is, man, the Lakers have some good young players. Who's the best among Ingram, Kuzma? Who's got the most upside among Ingram, Kuzma, Ball? And then that player, what kind of, what is he, an eight-time All-Star, whoever it is? I mean, who do you think's the best among these three?
Well, part of the problem, Matt, is that there isn't a consensus, right? Like, none of those three guys are really above the other by a lot. It's kind of an eye of the beholder thing. And I think, you know, look, I think it's instructive to look at how the Lakers played in this stretch without LeBron, right?
Yeah.
Like, what, 6-11 in those 17 games?
With some pretty awful losses that some of the worst teams in the league would take.
Yep. Lost to Cleveland, right, at home. Lost to
the Knicks, right?
Lost to the Knicks at home, right? They have some, you know, the Knicks haven't won a home game in like a month and a half, and they won in L.A.
And then they damn near lost to the Bulls, but they won that one late.
Right, and that might have been the worst game. If that wasn't the worst game I've ever seen, it's because the Bulls or the Cavs-Lakers game, like the game before it, was even worse. Yeah, look, those guys are just, they all are pretty flawed. I would say, if you ask me which one I'd take, probably, I'd probably like to have Lonzo the most. But, you know, Kuzma, I think, is a nice bench player, right? I think he's a really good sixth man, potentially, on a good team, on a really good team. He doesn't pass. He doesn't really play defense. He's 30% three-point shooter, right? Brandon Ingram can't shoot, doesn't really play defense, is good with the ball in his hands, but that's kind of irrelevant to me on a team with LeBron James or any other good player, really. Lonzo can do a lot of stuff, but he also doesn't really assert himself that often and really, you know, make his mark on the game. His free throw shooting's a disaster. I think he shoots 45% from the line or something. He doesn't get to the line at all. You know, so maybe he's Ricky Rubio with a little bit better three-point shot, which is a nice player. But, you know, I don't know if any of them make an All-Star team. I probably bet that none of them do. And, again, when you look at Mitchell, you look at Tatum, you look at Simmons, you even look at De'Aaron Fox down the road in Sacramento, right? All those guys, you know, you sit up and go, whoa, like, those guys look pretty good, right? And you just don't have those moments with these Lakers guys. And, you know, again, like, everybody's just kind of been Jedi mind tricked into thinking, oh, well, you know, Rich Paul has said that AD is only going to sign with the Lakers, so the Lakers have to get this guy, right? And it's like, no, they don't, because just because he says that now, you know, the Celtics feel confident. Again, if they have Kyrie Irving and Anthony Davis on the same team, they're going to be able to get him to stay there pretty easily. And again, like, the Pelicans have to want to trade him to the Lakers. Because are the Lakers really going to sit there this summer with a 34-year-old LeBron James, going to be 35, say, yeah, you know what we're going to do? We're not going to sign anybody again this summer. We're going to roll this back with this mediocre team and maybe make the playoffs again as a bottom seed, and then we'll sign AD a year from now. Like, I just don't see that as being a realistic path. So to me, if they can't trade for this guy in the next couple weeks, in the next week, I don't think they're going to be able to. They're not going to get this guy. And they could be looking at the same scenario again this summer where they strike out on these star players. They're sitting there with LeBron, which is a great place to start, but then you got a bunch of mediocre young guys and cap space nobody really wants to get the kind of difference-making player they need to be a real factor in a Western Conference, whether KD stays, you know, up in Golden State or not.
Tim, final question for you. Just in general, biggest takeaway or two from the Sixers' win over the Warriors on Thursday?
Ben Simmons, I thought, played the best game he's ever played. He was fantastic. The Sixers have played really well. You know, they had to stretch of 12 straight games against teams with winning records. They're 5-2. They're going to have a tough time tonight. Wilson Chandler's out for a couple weeks now. J.J. Redick's out resting. But they look pretty good. And I'm really curious to see what happens with them over the next week. Can they make some moves to improve their depth? I think if they can improve their 5-8 spots on the roster, I think they've got a shot to get out of the East. I think if they don't, they can't. And they're just not going to be good enough. And you know, the Warriors, to me, are going to be fine. You know, they just didn't make any shots. They, what, won 11 in a row, right? And they're
right.
Due to lose a game.
Sure.
The one thing I am curious to keep watching, though, is DeMarcus Cousins. I think he's looked pretty slow and pretty stiff, which is understandable. You know, since we talked last in that Warriors-Celtics game last week, the Celtics turned him into a pinata and just, you know, abused him in every kind of pick and roll they could, and DeMarcus couldn't really stay on the court. I think he might have fouled out in the game.
Yeah, he should have fouled out in the game, but then he didn't. They gave one of the fouls to Livingston, and then he actually ended up playing another couple minutes.
Yeah, that's right. So that's what it was. But yeah, he looked bad in that game, and I am curious, you know, the Lakers probably aren't a great example because of their roster, but like, I'm curious to see against the really good teams. You know, he struggled with Embiid, which is a different kind of challenge Thursday. But I'm really curious to see what DeMarcus looks like against these good teams. Can he stay on the court against the Houston, against the Denver, against these teams that can take advantage of him in the pick and roll? Because, you know, like we've talked about before, the fun thing about DeMarcus on the Warriors is that we already know everything else about the Warriors, basically.
Right.
It's really just like, let's see what DeMarcus looks like and how he fits and how they try to use him. So, you know, whenever I turn the Warriors on now, that's really the thing I'm keying in on is when he's in the game, how does he look, what's he doing, and how are teams attacking him? Because that's going to really dictate how much he's able to play when the playoffs come around.
Tim, thanks a lot, man. We really appreciate it, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Yeah, sounds good, pal. Look forward to catching up with you soon.
All right, Tim Bontemps of ESPN. Great stuff. Always leaves us with a few things to chew on. We'll react to that here on 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Warriors This Week on 95.7 The Game.
JD and Steiny with you here. About an hour and 10 to go. Show just flying by on this Saturday.
You know what you said? I said, man, a Super Bowl's tomorrow.
Yeah.
I was like, man, I'm not. But that's. I think that has a lot to do with the NBA. And the NBA is hijacked this week.
They have. I barely, and again, maybe it's, I've compared to other weeks that leading up to the Super Bowl, I've barely even noticed Super Bowl coverage. You know, whether like on television, it seems like it's kind of there in the background and not
right
at the forefront. It's always at the forefront. You look at what's been at the forefront this week, and it's been, what the hell's going on with Kyrie Irving? Or, you know, the Knicks are confident they're going to get Kevin Durant. I mean, that was an actual report this week. An actual report this week was Knicks confident they're going to get Durant. That after trading.
Was that Howard Beck?
Porzingis. I believe so.
Man, that's Howard Beck. You know, that's these guys have been around for a long time.
Now basically, you're making that move with Porzingis thinking you're getting him.
No doubt.
You're lining it up.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
You know, what's going to happen with Klay Thompson? We had the you know, interview. Obviously, you had, you know, Michael Thompson on with Pop and Bonte, but you also have, you know, Klay Thompson and the report with him saying that if the Warriors don't offer the max and the Lakers get Anthony Davis, he would maybe consider the Lakers. We know that there's going to be 5, 6, 8 teams that would line up to offer Klay Thompson a max contract. Now, the max that other teams can offer him is different from the max the Warriors can offer him. Warriors 5 and 190, other teams 4 and 140. So it's a difference of $50 million over 1 year, minus whatever he would make during that year if he just signed another contract. So you've got that whole dynamic, and then you've got the Anthony Davis camp, led by Rich Paul, trying to guide Davis seemingly to the Lakers. How about our guy Tim Bontemps? Just putting the rat on the table in his mind that the Lakers just don't have enough talent to get it done. And I think if you listened to or read Adrian Wojnarowski last night when he had the details of the first offer the Lakers made, he basically said it's unacceptable and it's just not close to being able to woo Davis west.
Well,
a lot to chew on there. You go wherever you want off of that.
Well, the one thing he said that I was surprised, well, the first thing that caught my ear was when he said, the problem with the Lakers is they don't have anybody to trade. And I'm thinking, what? They got three young players.
Well, we've been brainwashed to think otherwise, Tim.
Right. And then so I said, well, what? He doesn't think Lonzo Ball, Brandon Ingram, or Kyle Kuzma are ever going to make an all-star team. That's surprising to me.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't...
I think I'd roll the other way on that.
I mean, if the bet is one of them going to be an all-star at least one year, I'd have to say yes. It does... He's probably right about...
Like,
you know,
a perennial all-star.
Yeah, we're not talking about any perennial all-stars there. So, what do you do if you're Dell Demps?
I would not trade Anthony Davis before the deadline. I would play it out. I would sit him down for the rest of the year. He would not play another game for the Pelicans, and I would trade him in the offseason because I want the Celtics to at least be in play. I want to at least be able to get their offer. So it's Lakers, it's Celtics, it's anybody else that wants to step up to the plate. I think in the offseason you're going to have more teams that are going to be willing to make the Kawhi Leonard deal, where the Raptors essentially say, hey, we'll take Kawhi Leonard, we'll trade some pretty good players to do it, and we'll take him for a year, and we'll gamble that he's going to love our situation and our city and our organization so much that he's going to consider staying. And if not, we may try to win the championship this 1 year with him, and if he says farewell, then he says farewell, we'll live with it. So I think you'll get a couple of teams that'll come into that equation as well. So... yeah, I mean, unless the Lakers just knock your socks off, and again, going back to the Adrian Wojnarowski report, it would have to be almost Ingram and Ball and Kuzma and a couple of picks. You know, they're not interested in the Michael Beasleys and the Rajon Rondos of the world.
When rightfully so.
So you say, what would I do if I'm Dell Demps? I would sit Anthony Davis down. He's done playing, and I would reevaluate in the offseason. I would trade him in the offseason.
You know what I might do just to really stick it to Davis, although you probably wouldn't make a move like this. But you know what you could do? You send him home. You tell him you're done this year, and then you move Drew Holiday. And then go ahead and move Drew Holiday for somebody. And you kind of say to Davis, you're a jerk. I might have gotten you out of it if you played your cards the right way.
Sweat him out.
Yeah, a little bit. Because I'll tell you what, there's no way, and people might say, oh, they don't care. Yes, if they tell Anthony Davis, go home, you're not playing for us ever again, and you're certainly not playing for us the rest of this year, that would suck for him.
Yeah.
That would really, that's not cool. I mean, that's not a good look. It's not a good look at all, and I don't know that a guy like Anthony Davis really wants to do that. But they may make him now at this point. So
I would.
I think I might, too.
There's no might. I would.
Would you really?
He's done playing for the Pelicans, and since I'm not trading him before Thursday, then he's going to sit out the rest of the year.
Yeah.
You get paid, take your money, go on vacation, do whatever the hell you want, but you're not playing.
I mean, the one thing... You have to account
for... You quit.
You have to,
you quit.
But you have to account for the fans, too. Like, is that gonna push them to... There's just nobody going to games, or... they're not a lot of people going to games anyway.
They well, that's stink the one thing now that, anyway. They're not good. People were barely going when they were good. They're not good. Right. I mean, this season's over. They're done. They're
23-29.
They're done. They're 13th in the West. They are done.
8.5. Only five back.
They're done. Yeah, five back with five in between, right? Yeah, you'd have to pass five teams.
Yeah.
You'd have to pass five teams.
You got to get hot.
888-957-9570. 888-957-9570. Warriors this week with John Dickinson and Matt Steinmetz here on 95.7 The Game.
415 says, I wouldn't trade my star, meaning Anthony Davis, for the Lakers losing core. I mean, that's the other thing. I tend to throw out small sample size stuff, but I think Bontemps is right. If you watch Lakers since LeBron's been out, those guys don't look that great. They really
they
don't.
They stink. They look like the same team
I meant
that
those
they had
guys.
Okay. Well, they've been
saying.
Awful. I mean, and again, some losses where you go... I mean, the Knicks haven't... Did you see the note? Speaking of the Knicks, I was watching... Because their game was... They were a nationally televised game last night, and they lost to... Boston beat them. They had this list of, like, 18 different teams that have won at Madison Square Garden since the last time the Knicks have won. The Knicks haven't won a home game since December 1st.
Really?
So it was the 13 teams that have beaten them, right?
Yeah.
And then it was, like... All the college teams that have played games there and won games.
St. John's.
The clearly. Hockey teams that have come in there and won games. The Rangers and other teams. I think there was even a college hockey team that played a game of the Garden and won. There was just this laundry list of all the... It was like 20 different teams, maybe more, that have won at Madison Square Garden since the Knicks last won at Madison Square Garden, which was December 1st.
That's hard to do in the NBA.
December 1st.
They have the worst record now in the league. I'll bet you they're close next to Phoenix. New York 10-41, Phoenix 11-42.
The Knicks have the worst
Knicks
record.
Knicks have the worst record. Worst record in the NBA. Wow.
How about that?
That's pretty incredible.
How about that?
And they might be. And there's a scenario in which they could be the favorite to win the East next year.
Well, they're comfortable with it now. That's the thing.
No doubt.
You trade Kristaps Porzingis, who wasn't going to play, he isn't going to play. There was some thought that he might come back and play for the Knicks at some point, but he's not going to play for Dallas. You trade Porzingis, you're comfortable with being the worst team
right
for the year. Hey, you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1, KGMZ San Francisco, the radio home of the Golden State Warriors. It's Warriors this week. John Dickinson, Matt Steinmetz. We've got one more hour for you, and then we got a little 3-hour break. And then, Steiny, you're going to be back with Guru, Warriors Live, out at Oracle Arena, the Warriors and the Lakers tonight. Feels like a big game to me. Steiny, you said not so much.
Not yet.
But it will.
Yeah, I think it will.
By 4 o'clock?
I think it will. It doesn't feel like a big game to me right now just because we're on a hour four of a 4-hour show. Let me go home, shower up a little. We'll have that building buzzing. Let me ask you this. What do you think of Porzingis essentially doing the same thing Anthony Davis did? I mean, he's only been in the league. This is only his third year. He's played 3 years. He's not playing this year.
He's empowered. He feels empowered by everybody else.
And he went in there and said, I don't draw a line. Like
you know what?
I don't like this team.
And you know what? I draw no line. If it's acceptable for Anthony Davis to do it, then it's acceptable for Porzingis to do it. If it's acceptable for Kyrie Irving to do it and LeBron James and Kevin Durant and anybody else, Durant at least waited until he was a free agent, so I probably should put him in a different category. But
true. Yeah, I put Durant in a different category.
He is in a different category, so strike that from the record. But, yeah. I mean, I got no problem with it. Or if you have a problem with it, you have a problem with everybody doing it. You don't say, well, I have a problem with Porzingis doing it, but I don't have a problem with Anthony Davis doing it or Kyrie Irving doing it.
Well, you could theoretically say those guys at least have paid a little more dues. Who are the three guys? Kyrie's got a ring.
Anthony Davis.
Davis, he's established, and Porzingis, kind of what's he done? But no, sure. You're right. If there is a distinction, it's very subtle.
Let's get to Chase in Danville here on the phone lines on 95.7 The Game. Hey, Chase.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Doing well.
Great show. I just want to say on Anthony Davis, Steiny, you hit the nail on the head. Never underestimate the pettiness of human beings. If I'm Del Dance, I'm saying, you want to trade after all we did to support you? I'm like, you know what, Wilson? Well, in my right to trade you where I want you to go. And I bet you at the end of it, he'll end up in Boston for considerably less than what the Lakers are offering. And on top of that, he's going to say, have fun with the polar vortex, buddy. This is a thank you to you.
Yeah, I still think you've got, I never understood that the 49ers don't trade with the Raiders or whatever. I mean, you got to trade with a team that gives you the best return.
Yeah.
So I
don't think you're taking less from the Celtics than you would from the Lakers. Like, I don't buy that part of it. Just to trade him somewhere he doesn't want to be. To me, you want the Celtics to give you the most.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.